All right, welcome back to Justify Your Existence. I know it's been a little bit of a break since we've done this. Things have gotten crazy with honestly everything happening in the wide world of Mississippi college sports. But also last week, James and myself, we were stuck in Starkville for a good portion of the week doing high school football state championships coverage, and just didn't leave a whole lot of time last week. So, anyway, I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today, I'm joined by our Ole Miss guy, the Daily Journal's own Michael Katz. Michael, how are you?
I have not slept this well in a long time now that Lane Kiffin Gate mercifully came to its end on, I guess it was what, November 30th, something like that, I think was the final day of the madness. But I wrote about it, I've talked about it. That was probably like the most insane few days, few weeks in my professional life. And yeah, I mean, I'm glad it's over. There's no more is he staying or is he going? He's gone. There's a new guy and Ole Miss is hosting a playoff game, and finally we can just focus on the actual football.
Yeah, somehow it's not the craziest sudden coaching change of the year, but that's a totally different can of worms.
I'm not touching that one.
But yeah, I mean, as strange as it sounds, like with Ole Miss having a home playoff game right around the corner here, as strange as it sounds, how does it feel to have things like kind of slow down for a little bit for you?
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy is this is an 11-1 team, the first 11-win regular season in program history. Could very well be 12-0. They should have probably beaten Georgia. This could be a team that is a first round bye. Really kind of came out of nowhere. This was, I think, the number 21 team in the country coming in. 20 or sorry, 18 new starters. I mean, this team kind of caught everybody off guard. I mean, you have all these like really cool storylines of Kiwon Lacy emerging as this superstar running back. Trinidad Chambliss, who was at freaking Ferris State last year, just finished eighth in Heisman voting. Like all of these really cool stories, and we didn't have much of a chance to talk about them because there was just always this cloud kind of hanging over of what is Lane Kiffin going to do, when is he going to make his choice, and all these sorts of things. And when I talked to Keith Carter, I think it was last week, that basically like they started having to think about what the future is going to look like the second Florida fired Billy Napier. Like that was when it started, because it was like, oh boy, here we go. And then I think LSU fired Brian Kelly the next week. So then I know a lot was like hyper focused on that final stretch of Egg Bowl and all that stuff, but I mean, this has been a situation really since the middle of October. So now it kind of seems normal. We're able to just talk football. This is a team that I give them a lot of credit, man. There were a lot of things that I think we would classify as distractions around this team, and they just did their business, and it never seemed to faze them. I mean, I for me, that's unfathomable that you could have all this stuff about your head coach going around, and you're just going out there, and you're still winning games. It's crazy. Really mature group, and we're what, 8 days out from probably the biggest game in the history of Mississippi, the state itself, in terms of football games. So, it's nice to be focusing on that and the team, and like I said, there's a lot of really cool storylines with this team, and it's nice to get back to that.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you mentioned Billy Napier getting fired. Really, I think it dates back to last year when Billy Napier was almost fired. Because people kind of forget now, but there was a lot of talk after Florida beat Ole Miss that was like, "See, Billy Napier beat the guy that was supposed to replace him." But yeah, I mean, just is there anything that maybe, like you've thought of now that you've had some time like removed from it, that you hadn't, that maybe been a little hard to process, as all that unfolded?
I think the main thing for me was really just like how the players got through it and how they had to keep answering all these questions. Like, we have to ask them, like, hey, you think he's going to be here? And it's like, I hate having to ask this question. But you know, it's our job, and they handled it. They were like, "Well, we hope he is." I think just the way that they processed everything was probably the thing that maybe in the moment I didn't appreciate as much as I should have. And now that, you know, we're a few steps back, it's, I mean, it's genuinely incredible that they were able to stay focused through all this. I would say the other thing that I've really been able to kind of admire is that, you know, this was a team last year that was so good by every metric. That was one of the top five teams in college football last year, but they could not win a close game. They did not win a single one score game. Their average wins were by like 25 or 30, but their three losses were by a combined 13 points. They could not win a close game. And this team, I don't think anyone would say is as talented as last year's. I mean, look at all the draft picks they lost. But this team just gets it done. They're scrappy. They're just good, and it's not always pretty, but they know how to win close games. The one that they didn't was obviously at Georgia, and that's one that I know they feel like got away. They were up 9 heading into the fourth quarter, and Georgia had a really nice fourth quarter there, and you know, they were one tackle away from really sealing that thing. But this is a team that has won games when they haven't been pretty. They have figured out what they are. And I think, you know, the defense has come a long way since the start. It was kind of a mess for the first couple of weeks, especially the run defense. But it's gotten a lot better. This is a team that's really matured and has figured out how to win games uglier than, you know, maybe they'd like. But I think that, you know what, like, we're in the time of year where it's not going to be pretty. Like, because I know that Ole Miss beat up Tulane really bad the first time. I would be stunned if this is another 35-point game. This could be a rock fight. Like, who knows? But this is a team that knows how to win tight games. And, you know, just thinking back to the conversation last year, about how, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda with that team, it's pretty incredible that this is the team that was able to break through, because other than the guys in that room, I don't know who saw that coming.
And then one other thing I wanted to ask you about was, obviously it's been like a strange time for like every Ole Miss media person, but for you, it's like, especially personal, 'cause this dates for you, dates back to, your time at USC. I mean, surely at the time you're like, look, there will never be a stranger Lane Kiffin story than him getting tarmacked.
It always gets weirder, doesn't it? Yeah, no, I did have some moments of reflection as it finally came to a close, and I was like, yeah, the tarmac thing was pretty wild. I actually just missed that. That was the year after. My last year at USC was when they were the preseason number one team and finished 7-6 and lost in the Sun Bowl to a Georgia Tech team that had to apply for a waiver at 5-7 to get in. That's the first, I believe, first preseason number one team to ever finish unranked. That was the last team I covered, though. He got fired the next year. But one thing, like, I distinctly remember was he kicked a reporter out of practice for reporting that the kicker was on crutches. Even though, like, he was just like walking around campus on crutches. Like, anybody could have seen this. This wasn't necessarily something reported at practice. This is just, hey, I have eyes. His classmates see this. This isn't a mystery. And he legitimately, I don't think I was there that day, but I feel like I remember him like legitimately having the guy removed from practice. And then it became this whole thing, and there were apologies and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, this guy's kind of dramatic. There's usually some weird stuff that happens. And that was, what, 2012? And so now here we are, in the year of our Lord 2025, and it's somehow gotten weirder. That's, you know, he's a great coach. There's no question. He's done some incredible things in his career. But, you know, it's never been easy necessarily with him, and you know, the breakups tend to be kind of ugly.
So no tarmac this time. Well, I guess there was a tarmac involved eventually, but to me, like the most like surreal thing was just like all the tweets of the reporters standing outside the Manning Center, and all of a sudden just it starts sort of just like filtering to you guys. Oh yeah, Pete's the head coach now. To me, like, just like, how surreal was that, and how crazy was it going from, okay, maybe this is just like an interim thing, to, oh, he's just the coach now.
Well, it was funny because, like, I don't think you ever expect it to be that easy for them to be like, oh, yeah, Pete's the head coach. I'm like, wait, he just said it. Like, it's not, we're supposed to have to work for this. He just said it, which I think goes to how excited they were about the situation being over and them being excited for Pete. But yeah, man, I mean, that Sunday, the meeting was supposed to be at 9 a.m. and we all get there and then it gets pushed back to like 1. And then we're trying to figure out who's actually in the meeting. Marty Smith had been held hostage in the Ole Miss's athletic facilities for several days. And then he comes out and he's asking us questions. And yeah, then players to finally start filing out and they're like, Pete Golding era and all these things. It's like, okay, well, I can establish that Pete Golding is the head coach. Not sure in what capacity. And then Lane releases a statement that says he's leaving for LSU. And I was like, wow, big if true. And then, then we find out that it is a permanent situation. And then later that day, I think the funniest thing happened. And God bless Ben Garrett for getting this, but they moved his clothes out, like his like little like wardrobe thing, like out onto the street. And I was just like, man. This is a petty business. Absolutely incredible stuff.
I mean, that is the Ole Miss version of Jimbo's Christmas tree.
Yes, that's literally, we're just like, this is Jimbo's Christmas tree.
Yeah, I'm just crazy, crazy, crazy time. One thing that I've like sort of felt, granted, I live and work in the Tupelo area, like, but the general sentiment that I've gathered on Twitter and just talking to people around here is, I still feel like it doesn't matter that Ole Miss doesn't really have any like ties to Tulane other than like somewhat geographical like proximity. I still just feel like there's enough like palpable anger in Oxford that like whoever is on the field against Ole Miss is just gonna get like the full wrath and fury of not just like the football team, but also whoever's in attendance. And I know that, Vaught Hemingway isn't exactly like the most like intimidating home field advantage, at least, compared to some of the top stadiums in the country. But like, do you get that sense too?
Yeah, I mean, this one feels personal. I think there's a lot of pent up, whatever you want to call it, that now this team is they're free of, all of the distractions, and they're playing for a guy who really wants to be there. There's no question Pete Golding wants to be the head coach at Ole Miss, and he is. They will run through a wall for him. That is obvious. I will say though, please don't forget that Ole Miss and Tulane were old SEC rivals way back in like a billion years ago. I don't know if anyone alive remembers that. I'm kidding. I want to say it was the 60s was the last time they were SEC. So they played
It's
a
not
bunch.
quite Sewanee, but it's not that far.
But yeah, I mean, geographically, I think the weird thing is they've already played, right? Like, literally, it'll be 3 months to the day that they will have last played. And I'm like, wow, I've seen this one before. But obviously, the teams are different circumstances. You're not going to get the same game twice, probably. But that being said, I mean, this is a team that I truly feels like I think they feel they can win the national championship. Like, this is a team that isn't just happy to be there. Like they expect to win games, and it starts with Tulane. If they win that, it would be Georgia. That's a game they would feel confident in because they should have won the first one. And they would be at the Sugar Bowl, which is a place where Ole Miss historically, that's a nice place for them to play. So, obviously a lot of what ifs there, but yeah, no, this is a squad that they feel like they belong and they felt like they've belonged the whole time. The record speaks for itself, and they've gone through a lot this year, and now that cloud has kind of been lifted. I think I know it's going to be different without Lane there. You never know what a guy is going to be like as a head coach for the first time. It's his first game ever as a head coach at any level. But I do think having the coordinators is big. Obviously Pete calling defense and Charlie Weiss staying for the playoff run. I think that just helps the smoothest possible situation. I think teams are what they are by this time of year. You've done things a certain way for however many months. You're not going to reinvent the wheel in a couple weeks. You're going to keep doing what's gotten you there. So, I think this team feels really confident in itself, and I imagine that they're probably just happy to play football and to be able to just talk about football.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of an interesting matchup because I mean, yes, these two teams have played each other, but on one side you have a school that famously did not let its departing head coach coach in the playoffs, while they're playing a Tulane team whose head coach is leaving for Florida, and both sides are totally cool with him, coaching this team in the playoffs. Long story short, college football is a land of contrasts.
If nothing else, I think we got to figure this calendar out a little bit better. This was just not an enviable situation for a lot of these programs, especially since all like a billion of them had to look for coaches at the same time. It was just, if you're good, people are going to look for your coach, and that just kind of sucks because you might be in the middle of the national title hunt. I never thought that I would see a coach leave a legitimate national title contender during the season, or like right as the championship hunt is going to start. But that's just, I think the calendar has forced hands here. And, obviously he made a decision. But, that's not a decision that should have to be made like right now. I mean, that's just, it's crazy. But, obviously John Sumrall's situation at Tulane, I kind of get the feeling that, like, yeah, then you never want to lose your coach, but they knew they were going to lose him at some point. He's a really good coach, and I feel like it's just like, hey, this looks good for us because look, our coaches are going to Houston. I think Willie Fritz, and then he's going to Florida. Like, look at what our program is. We're pretty good, and we're proud of this guy. So, and I think John Sumrall will say handled the situation a little bit differently than the guy here, and I'll just leave it at that.
What, are you saying that John Sumrall wasn't posting on Twitter, asking God to help him make a decision?
John Summerall's dog wasn't posting about the SEC championship game.
Yeah, that too. But, I mean, Tulane is kind of weird though, because they have this, again, this like weird playoff game with weird coaching situations, but it's really not even the first, postseason game that they've played this year, where they've had this weird coaching situation because their conference championship game was also against a coach who was leaving his school. So it's just, I don't know, it's departing coaches all the way down.
College football is as beautiful and stupidly perfect as it is. It's got some issues, and I'm hoping that maybe this brings to light some of the calendar stuff. But at the end of the day, it's going to be two really good teams playing, and two teams that are hungry and feel like they can do this thing. Again, like I know I've seen them play, and everybody hates rematches because they think it's going to go the exact same way as it did the first time. But I personally have never seen the same game twice. So, I think Ole Miss has to feel pretty good about its chances, and there's a reason they're a 16.5 or 17, whatever, point favorite. But I think you're going to get a better version of Tulane in this game too. I think both teams have grown a lot and figured out who they are since, I guess it was the week four matchup that they played in. I think things are going to look different.
What, you don't think that Jake Retzlaff's gonna have 56 passing yards
Was it that
again?
many? God, I just remember they completed like 34% of their passes. It was bad, man. I mean, yeah, that was bad. But, Retzlaff can run. I think he's got 16 rushing touchdowns this year. So, again, I think he's thrown 12 of his 14 touchdown passes since that game, so he's obviously figured things out a little bit. He is a lot better than he was that game. I think Tulane is a lot better than they were that game. So it'll be interesting, but yeah, that was one of the that was a gnarly passing game to watch that particular day.
Yeah, I think I mean, we'll find out obviously, but I think it was one of those cases where Tulane brought in 34 transfers over the summer or over the spring, whatever. And I think it's just one of those things where they lost some folks. They're bringing in a whole lot of new faces. Oh, and hey, you have a game against a playoff team, the fourth week of the season. Have fun.
Yeah, I mean, again, I know, like, in my head, like, I remember that game, but it's crazy that it literally was almost 3 months ago.
Yeah.
That's football in football years. That is centuries in terms of what teams look like in September versus December. So, I think that was a really, really bad day for Tulane. I think it was a great day for Ole Miss. Ole Miss was a machine. Trinidad Chan was making a second career start. Had like 400 something yards of total offense. He was still a revelation at that point. A lot's changed for both teams. So I think we'll see a more even matchup this time. I could be totally wrong. I don't see the 35-point thing happening again. Not to say Ole Miss isn't going to win by a good amount, but 35 is if I was a betting man, I think the under. That would be the smart move.
Yeah, I mean, 3 months in college football already feels like a long time, and that was before the 2 weeks that you went through. So,
I was going to say, and that, I mean, really, that's, I mean, millennia is what Ole Miss has been through.
yeah, no, the Egg Bowl feels like it was 2 months ago
It
alone.
actually
So,
does. It literally, I was like, man, when was I in Starkville? Like, was it really that recently? I was like, oh, God, it wasn't even 2 weeks ago.
Mississippi State football tends to have that effect on people.
Well, that's a story for another day.
Yes. But yeah, it just seems like, well, I guess first I wanted to bring up, how excited are you to see the Grove before a playoff game?
It's gonna be really cool. My parents are actually coming out. They've never seen an Ole Miss game. So I guess 5 seasons in, they finally figured this was a good one to come see.
Oh, they're hopping on the bandwagon, huh?
So they're gonna go to the game. They're very excited. They've been following Ole Miss very closely since I started covering them. They're on island time. No, it's I personally, I'm very grateful they're coming out here. I'm not looking forward to being a show four during probably the most crowded that the city is ever going to be. So I'm gonna have to pick my spots. My parents were like, "Hey, can we get dinner reservations?" And I was just like, "I don't think that's gonna happen. It might be DiGiorno for us for a couple of days." But no, I'm excited. The Grove is always, last time we saw it was that Florida game. That was as electric as I've seen the stadium and the surrounding area. And I can only imagine it's gonna be tenfold with that. And it's going to be a good time to be a business in Oxford too. I imagine this is going to be bringing in a lot of money for the city tourist wise. So it's going to be cool. I mean, college football is, I know it's got some problems right now, but just the pageantry and the traditions and the tailgating and the fans, like that doesn't change. And I think that seeing that in full force is going to be really, really cool. And given everything that Ole Miss and Oxford have kind of been dealing with this year, just in terms of, will Stiller really go and the drama, Oxford and Ole Miss both deserve this.
Yeah, and I feel like you don't have to, it must be nice to not have to be looking up coaches' buyouts or worrying about a coaching search. Just football, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Spot the ball.
Please, I'd never want to hear that phrase ever again. But some other news, the SEC schedules for next year dropped. I know that Ole Miss obviously has a lot to deal with right now, so that the thought of even next year is just like a totally distant thought. But just I don't know, just thoughts on how things are looking for next year.
I, for one, am stunned that they would make Ole Miss's first SEC game be LSU.
Yes,
I mean, wow. Huh.
it's great timing that they made that a permanent game for a little bit.
Yeah. Huh. I wonder how that worked out. That is going to be among the most toxic situations I think imaginable. And I mean that in like a beautiful college football way. I was at the golf ball game or t at Tennessee and the Mustard, the infamous game. I don't know what Ole Miss fans are going to bring for this one next September, but I feel like it is going to be chaotic. And also, LSU plays Tennessee next year too in Knoxville. So Lane's going to get two of those games. He's going to get to go back to Oxford and he gets to go to Knoxville. If only they played USC too. Then you would really have just the trifecta. But yeah, that I mean obviously that stood out. That schedule is pretty gnarly. I think they're at Texas and we expect Texas to be better. They're at Florida. They open with Louisville, which is not exactly a gimme. Louisville is pretty good.
Louisville in Nashville for whatever reason.
Well, that was supposed to be Ole Miss versus USC. Never forget what they took from you.
Yes.
I will never forget.
Sorry about that.
I have lamented that with Keith Carter before.
You would have been spared from a Kiffin Bowl at least, so.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But yeah, I mean, you still got to go out there and win the games. But I think like this year, if Ole Miss was going to have success, obviously they're really good, but the schedule in S by SEC standards was more favorable than some. There's some teams where you just look at the schedule and you said, how are they going to make it through this? Ole Miss, obviously the schedule is hard and there's no easy SEC schedules, but by conference standards, you could see a path, and they did it. They had to do it, and they did it. And there's no props to them. This schedule is tough. It's not going to be easy. But listen, it's never easy in the SEC, and this is a team and a program that completely defied my expectations this year. Hell, maybe they'll go 12-0 next year, just because that's the way it works now. But no, it's having to get Oklahoma again on the road is tough. It's the weird, they get LSU twice, they get LSU 2 years in a row at home, but they have LSU or Oklahoma 2 years in a row on the road. That's kind of tough, but that's just kind of the way the schedule breaks.
Yeah, I was disappointed to find out that they made the Charlotte series both games at Ole Miss because I thought it was weird that they had a road game to Charlotte scheduled for some reason.
That one never made a ton of sense.
That series, I didn't even know of its existence until I was playing as Charlotte in CFP 25, and I was like, why do I have a home game against Ole Miss?
How
Weird,
crazy
weird
was
things.
Stadium Pulse?
It's whatever. It's Charlotte, man.
They're doing the best.
I'm doing a pretty good job over there, but it's certainly a college football head coaching job. Of all the college football head coaching jobs, it's
Certainly one
Charlotte.
of them.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. But just you personally, how are you feeling about getting to experience playoff football?
It's funny because like this is what I thought I was gonna get last year, right? Like I was like, pencil it in, baby. Like I'm gonna get to cover the playoffs, and I ended up in Jacksonville, which
Look,
beautiful.
there's nothing is ever wrong
No,
with ending up in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's perfect in its own
It's
way.
a wonderful place to spend New Year's. It's a great
Yes,
place.
yes. I was not expected to beat the Gator Bowl last year when the season started. I was expecting to be at one of those sorts of bowl games when this season started. So, to be able to kind of see this team grow and really kind of defy expectations, at least from the outside, it's been really cool to see and to get to know these players and kind of see how they've developed as people and players. And yeah, I'm excited. If you cover certain programs, these opportunities happen a ton. But this is literally an opportunity that's never happened at Ole Miss, and I'm really grateful to be able to chronicle it for as long as it goes. And I'm gonna do my best to do it justice.
As someone who's literally flying home for Christmas, or flying home to Jacksonville for Christmas, there's nothing wrong with the holidays in Jacksonville. But just kind of like one last thing I wanted to cover. How do you, I know that it was kind of a band-aid situation to make sure that the committee didn't have an excuse to move them down, or just to sort of keep whatever they've built going. But how do you feel about Pete Golding as the head coach? It seems to me, the easy comparison is Zach Arnett, because it's like a Mississippi college football head coach, defensive coordinator who was kind of suddenly pushed into the head coaching position in a very weird coaching situation. But I don't know. Part of me feels like I'll be kind of surprised if he makes it all the way through that contract. But also part of me is like, you know what? We'll see. College football, the coaching hires are strange in that way.
Yeah, I mean it's so hard to predict. Again, we don't have any sample size of what he is as a head coach, but we do know he's a great motivator, he's a really good recruiter, he's a really good defensive mind, and he's going to hire good people around him. And I don't think you can take that for granted. Obviously the Zach Arnett thing comes to mind, but there's also when LSU poached Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, they elevated Marcus Freeman, and that's I know they didn't make the playoff this year, but that's worked out pretty well for them. So, there's just so many ways this could go. I do think that continuity wise, yeah, like it obviously makes sense for the playoff, and there was no question like this was the move. But I think going forward too, Pete's talked about it, like you're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. Like he wants to run the same offense. That's why he brought in John David Baker from East Carolina, who runs the same offense as Charlie Weiss. You're keeping the defense the same. He's still going to be calling the defense. Obviously it's going to be a different guy making key decisions, him versus Lane, but listen, this program has won 10 games 3 years in a row for the first time ever. Like why would you want to take it apart and try to rebuild it? Like, let's just try to keep the thing going as best you can, and I think that's going to give him a chance to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, just that offensive part. I mean, that's already a huge departure from Arnett, who totally changed the offense from, Leach's air raid to, God, I don't know what that was. And
I was stunned when they changed it, and I was like, this isn't going to go well.
yeah, I mean, it was the same with Luke Fickell going to Wisconsin, be like, let's do the air raid at Wisconsin. It's just like, man, that's just not that's not your identity. No. But we'll find out how it goes. But
Yep.
yeah, just anything else you want to touch on?
No, I'm excited to be talking ball. I can't believe we're 8 days out from this game actually happening. I do kind of like that the span between the announcement of the game is a lot shorter than it is for like when there were New Year's Six bowl games. You had like a month. Now it's just like, okay, we get like 1 week where it's kind of laid back a little bit, and then it's 1 week where it's like, oh crap, it's game week. Like we got to get going. So I mean, I'm excited that the process is a little bit faster.
I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit here. Who's your pick to win the national title?
I'm a big Georgia fan right now. I really like the way they're playing, because the defense has come along and they're playing nasty offensively. I really feel like the winner of the Ole Miss Georgia game, assuming that's what we end up with in the Sugar Bowl, is going to have a really good chance. I think Ohio State's great. I think that Indiana obviously is great. I keep waiting for their bubble to burst, but it's been 2 years and it hasn't yet. So I'm kind of done counting them out. I also think, and I feel like I'm going to regret saying this, I think Miami has a chance because they're really talented. And I know that's going to be a terrible old take. But depending on which Carson Beck you get, I think they've got a nice chance against A&M, and I think they got a nice chance. So that's a very convoluted way of saying I have no idea, but I think Georgia's really good.
Yeah, my personal pick is Ohio State, but I think Texas Tech is a big time sleeper here. So,
Yeah,
I
especially
think that
since
might be the matchup.
they got the Wildcat linebacker. I love him.
You can follow Michael on Twitter at Michael L. Katz. You can follow me on Twitter at BFarrell727. You can follow the journal at DJournal Sports. You can find all of our Ole Miss and Mississippi State coverage at DJournal.com. I don't think I'm forgetting anything. Michael, as always, I've always just really appreciate your time, especially with all the craziness of the last couple of weeks. So, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Okay, man, this is the easy time. I'm glad to join you.
Great. And then just a quick message from our friends over at Vanelli's here in Tupelo. Vanelli's Bistro is turning 50, and we'd like to thank the people of Tupelo for your support all these years. We look forward to the next 50 years. Vanelli's Bistro is located at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844-4410. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for sticking around, and thanks for following along with us this season. And enjoy the playoffs, everybody. Enjoy the games, and have a good one.